Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rodden.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back in hour number 3, an SOB edition of Primetime. Sook, Ortner, Buckley here with you on a Tuesday. Been making our way through some football coaching carousel moves. Coming up in this hour, going to get to some baseball bratwurst. Not a lot of baseball usually to talk in late January, but we had, and it wasn't even a walk-off. We just had an epic, dramatic performance of just otherworldly proportions last night in the Dominican League. And a very interesting case of an 11-year-old pulling a baseball card and all the riches that could potentially come with that. Saw today that Riley Leonard, who's down at the Senior Bowl, says that he is still sore from the national championship game, which was, what, a week and a half ago now?
Turns out that a quarterback running the ball like 30 times, maybe not the best thing for your body. I mean, honestly, with running quarterbacks, there is a thing, like, even in the NFL, like, you have to know,
there's a limit.
You have to know when to do it.
Josh Allen can't run the ball 25 times a game and complete a season. I mean, you can't do that.
No, that's why I say, like, come playoff time, by all means, dude, take the governor off. Which the Riley Leonard thing, although he ran it all the time because he can't throw.
But you know what? Like Mahomes on Sunday.
Yes.
I mean, he spent a lot less time running the season. He will do it when he has to.
Yeah.
But also, this time of year, he picks up 2, 3, 4 more carries a game than he usually
does.
We
all want the guy that, like, never runs out of bounds and, like, puts his shoulder down. And,
yeah,
like,
that guy doesn't survive a season.
No, you want the center fielder that's always diving around and, like, making catches, like Eric Davis style back in the day.
Yeah, the Giants had Aaron Rowan for a while, and that guy was always on the DL because he was always running into walls.
Yeah, sometimes you have to be a little smart about how you go about doing things. But I keep watching stuff out of the Senior Bowl. The one I saw today is people were claiming that Dylan Gabriel threw the ball 74 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And the combine record's like 62 or 64 miles an hour.
Yeah, by Josh Allen and Joe Milton.
And I'm like, well, it turns out, by the way, well, Dylan Gabriel does not have a big arm.
No one has ever thought that. And therefore, when it comes out that he has like the hottest fastball that anyone's ever seen from a quarterback, it was a little bit disarming.
Apparently, there's a chip in the ball at the Senior Bowl. And so that's different than like the radar gun that they used the combine.
Got it.
It's still impressive that he threw it 74 miles an hour, but it is not the all-time combine record. By Dylan Gabriel does not throw the ball 10 miles an hour harder than any other player that's ever gone to the NFL combine.
Did you see his super special transfer portal era helmet?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. He got down at the Senior Bowl, a lot of times they'll put different decals on their helmets.
Yeah.
He actually got a black helmet and then had the duck wings on one side, the Oklahoma OU on the one, and then a Central Florida stripe and logo on the back.
Yeah. Representing all three schools he played at.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of cool for the modern guy that has played at three schools. I thought it was kind of slick.
And then
I still don't want him as my NFL quarterback.
No,
but this
seems like such a weak NFL or a quarterback class. I wonder where he goes and who does take a flyer.
It will be interesting to see. There's only really two guys that I've seen in the first round, and that's Shadur and
Cam Ward.
And Cam Ward. Yep. But they also said, like in last year's class, neither one of these guys would be top six. Like they would be quarterback 7 and 8 in last year's class.
Yeah.
So obviously, if you need a quarterback, these two guys are going to go high. Most people have them going 1-2 or 1-3, right? Like, they're going to get off the board. But it will be interesting to see if any of these other quarterbacks end up getting moved up and we see some late first or second. Or do you just see teams look at this and be like, nah, you know what? We're fine. We have a third-round grade on you. We're taking you in the third round. Because most of the time, you do see teams will just move guys up because it's a weak class.
Right.
But you know, we've seen years like E.J. Manuel, 1 year was the only quarterback taken in the first round. He went like 13th overall. So we have seen teams kind of punt on this, and it's just not a good class. They're just, I personally don't love Cam Ward. I think Sanders is interesting, but like the Dylan Gabriels of the world and the Jackson Darts, I'm not drafting those guys in the first two rounds. Sure, third, fourth round, take a flyer, but no thanks.
Be interesting to see where they land and whether those guys get any run because, again, like you said, they would not be high on a lot of draft boards most years, but they're bumped up because this class is so weak. Someone's going to take them. Question is who and how they fit. Let's get to the hot 5 and 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number 5.
Well, it seems a little silly, and J.J. Watt has said online that maybe it should be called the Participation Bowl at this point, but Russell Wilson and Drake May are now Pro Bowlers. That's right. They replaced Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, who are not going to play in the game.
Well, I'm not sure which is worse, Drake May or Dangerous.
And then additionally, I did see Art Rooney say that he does not foresee the Steelers bringing back both Wilson and Justin Fields next year. So who goes where? Who sticks around? I mean, Russ did not finish the season very strong for them.
I would assume it's Fields. Like, if it's Russell Wilson, and by the way, Russ is not terrible, but you know what your ceiling is with Russell Wilson, and it's going nowhere. So if you're Pittsburgh, don't you have to roll the dice with the younger, more athletic? I mean, neither one of them should be your starting quarterback, but
it has to be Fields.
I can't imagine bringing back Russell Wilson and trying to do another 10-win season where you get humbled in
number 4
in the playoffs.
Maybe Dylan Gabriel. No, just kidding.
Better than what you got. If Pittsburgh needs to take a swing.
More coaching carousel news. We've mentioned today that there's still just one vacancy available. It's the job that nobody seems to want, the New Orleans Saints. Cliff Kingsbury has opted out of pursuing that job now, so he didn't want it either.
We talked about this. It's a bad job.
Now it sounds like Kellen Moore, the Eagles OC, may be a favorite. Of course, he's still coaching in the playoffs, but now with every other job full, they can afford to wait, I guess.
All you need to know is that Joe Brady, who cut his teeth in New Orleans, right, who's familiar with that organization, there's only 32 of these jobs that pay a lot of money. Joe Brady decided to come back and be the OC. Cliff Kingsbury decided to come back and be the OC as opposed to taking that job because at the end of the day, and it's, by the way, it's not a horrible defense, but you have a crappy quarterback that makes a lot of money. You have salary cap hell. and you have an organization that really has no sense top to bottom on how to build a roster, it's a bad job. And the fact that two OCs, including one that cut his teeth there, don't want the job, it's all you need to know about how bad that New Orleans job is.
Well, Scoot Henderson, Sook, is headed to the All-Star Game.
Hee-hee, man, you done.
Not the actual All-Star Game, but he will be part of the Castrol? Is that the oil, the motor oil? Castrol Rising Stars Challenge. Of course, they're going to do, like, the four-team thing, and then...
Can you be a Rising Star 4 years in a row? Because this is
sounds like you can.
Fourth year, like, no offense.
He's
like,
got a COVID year.
Ah, there it is, yeah.
Hey, Scoot, like, it's the only time you're going to the All-Star Game, so...
I'm going to that league.
That's fine, but I feel like you go to four Rising Star games...
Should Scoot be turning down the invitation?
Well, you're a little like Wooderson at this point, man. You graduated from high school a couple years ago, and you keep showing up because the chicks are new. Like,
you just got to keep living,
man. It's a little weird.
L-I-V-I-N.
Then Bryce McGovern going to be part of that game, too, because he's a G League player, and they will be including the G League in that. Additionally, did you see the slam dunk contestants this year?
Yeah, and I saw that Old McGloin's back, right?
Yeah, Mac McClung is back. McClung. Not to be confused with Matt McGloin, former Raiders quarterback and Penn State quarterback. But, yeah, your dunkers this year, Mac McClung, Stephon Castle, Matas Buzelis, and Andre Jackson Jr.
I'll tell you right now, I'm not certain which one I care about. Least for the Tiger Woods Golf League or the NBA Slam Dunk or just the NBA All-Star Weekend in general. I think I might choose to watch the Tiger Woods League opposed to All-Star Weekend.
I would too if it weren't for the three-point contest. I still
there
like that,
go.
But that's the only redeeming quality of that. Some trade deadline rumors in the NBA. Jimmy Butler, he's suspended indefinitely. We got to that yesterday. But now it sounds like the asking price is coming down because the team that they really wanted to do deal with was the Phoenix Suns. And apparently no one's willing to take on that abhorrent Bradley Beal contract. And so other teams now in play for Butler. And then today, the big news in the Western Conference was that De'Aaron Fox, the star in Sacramento, now wants out. And the Sacramento Kings are looking at offers for him, even though under previous head coach Mike Brown, they said that he was going to be the centerpiece of the team. So
yeah, well, I mean, it sounds like he wants to go to San Antonio, and if they can get him there, De'Aaron Fox and Wemby?
Yeah, have him learn from Chris Paul for a little bit and then scoot over to that role with Wemby. Yeah, that'd be pretty nice. And then how about your NBA slate tonight? The Blazers back in action, and they welcome the letter O back into the building. Dame Lillard in town tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's something to that. I mean, when he came back the first time, it was pretty cool. And yeah, he got a nice warm reception. But is every time Dame come back, is it a thing? Or like, is there?
I mean, it's probably
it for some people.
It's probably more juice than when you're like playing the I don't know the Pacers.
Is there something? Is there a buzz?
I don't know. Is there a buzz?
I give it two thumbs. I mean, honestly, at this point, the Blazers. It's hard, and I try to pay attention. Like Rob hates the NBA. I can't say that I hate the NBA, but it's a tough watch for me. And going into however many years of this crap we have with Portland, I have a hard time caring. If you want to see like apathy having set in, boy, it has befallen me to where I'm like, yeah, wake me when something interesting happens.
And you and a lot of the fan base, man.
And I just don't know. Like I got a buddy of mine that's got seats down below and like he's like, hey, you want to go to a game? And dude, a lot of times I just look at him like, yeah, I don't know. Like
that seems like a lot of effort.
Dame coming back, Milwaukee. Giannis may not play tonight. Giannis is worth going to see. I think he's one of the guys that's worth paying. I'll be interested to see if that's a packed house tonight or if it's still kind of like, Dame's back. Yeah. I've seen it before. Portland.
The Hot 5 at 5 is brought to you by Victorico's Mexican Food, a hit with the whole family. Order in-store, online, or delivered to your door at victorico's.com. When you think flavor, think Victorico's. Also flavorful, a bratwurst. The baseball bratwurst is coming up next. Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I so enjoy when our listeners, who I love dearly, try to play Gotcha Radio, and you end up looking like an ass clown.
Okay, what do we have?
People, I had four separate people try to call me out, and this is just a synopsis right here. It's got, because I said, like, I have a hard time paying attention to the Blazers, right?
Sure.
And someone said, we know you're not following the Blazers too closely. You said it's Scoot's fourth year. No, what I said was this is Scoot's fourth time in the Rising Stars game.
Which is true.
Scoot played 2 years in the G League Ignite, at which point he played in
the Rising Stars game.
This is his second, not third year, as one guy stated. This is his second year with the Portland Trail Blazers and would be his second time playing in the Rising Stars game, which would make him now a four-time participant in the Rising Stars game. So to the gotcha people out there, let me just say, suck it. Ha ha. I love it when people get crowned up and are like, I caught you. No, you didn't.
Another important thing from our text line. Guys, I just had an oopsie. Pretty sure I just sharted on my commute home.
I'm stuck
in traffic. Let's make this show hilarious.
That I'm.
You know what, listener? We will try for you.
I am sorry, because that's a terrible feeling. You're in traffic. There's nothing you can do. You can't take care of it. You just got to sit there and wait till you get home. And you know, you'll check when you get home.
How bad it is.
Is that a thing that's happening fairly frequently? Because I feel like it happens a lot, and it doesn't really happen to me.
No, it happens.
Is that like an age thing? Like, when does the governor go there and it's like, I got to be careful on anything I let loose?
I'm with you, Will. I have had it happen to me, but only once, and I was in Las Vegas after just imbibing way too much over like 3 days, and it was just, you know, a fart gone rogue. But apparently it does happen to some more than others.
See, but every time like it's happened to me, it's like, well, I already kind of felt sick. So like, here it comes. It's either the prelude or the aftershock to the earthquake.
Well, again, if you're someone that, like, there's a lot of people now with food allergies, lactose intolerant. I mean, and you suck it up and deal with it anyways. Everyone's addicted to caffeine and nicotine. Look, stuff happens.
Does caffeine make you poop?
Oh, yeah.
Caffeine makes you poop?
A lot of people
just ask if caffeine...
Caffeine doesn't make me poop, dude.
You've never heard of it. It's a
major reason why a lot of people drink coffee first thing in the morning, because it gets you started like that.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't happen to me.
Really? No, iron gut Ortner over there.
No, I'm not like, I barely drink coffee anyways, but.
Well, if you drank a bunch of coffee, you would, like, caffeine gets the whole system going.
Yes. But I drink like energy drinks and I drink pre-workouts.
Yeah, shocked. That's Will is master of it, everything. Something that happens to everyone doesn't happen.
Not
to me.
Not me, Will's.
That's Will's favorite go-to.
No,
is
I'm just asking.
Universal.
Questions here.
Anything that happens to everyone else. What are you talking about? Doesn't happen to me. Will is invincible over there. Will has
not
that
invincible.
Will
I'm
has
just
that 27 year old. What are you talking about?
Doesn't happen to me. I'm asking questions. You're my elder.
To be fair, he's trying
to
educate
if you
himself
poop a lot. Yeah. That, I'm just out here asking questions.
Doesn't happen to me.
Doesn't happen to me.
Had 97 shots last night. Nothing happened to me. I'm invincible.
Well, that would kill you. 97 shots would kill you.
I'm invincible.
Well, now the text line is saying that don't trust a fart past 40, as the saying goes. I didn't know that past 40 was part of it. I am not yet 40, but I think you know when or not to trust a fart, I think.
Well, I have all kinds of food issues, and I just ignore them anyways. So you just roll the dice. You know, you eat some leftover Chinese food, lactose intolerant, eat plenty of dairy. You just understand. Yeah. Like, if I have ice cream, I know I got about 20 minutes. If I drink a bunch of caffeine in the morning, I don't leave until I take care of some business. Like, I'll look at the dog and I'm like, hey, buddy, we had a cup of something this morning. We're going to have to wait. Give me about 10 minutes. We'll take care of business. We'll head out on the walk.
Well, the lactose thing makes more sense then, because it's like, yeah, of course, that's because your body can't handle it.
Will handles lactose, though. He's extremely...
I don't have a lot of lactose.
He doesn't let lactose become intolerant. No.
I can't.
Well, like with Dan,
I'm tolerant of everybody
Will's
and everything.
Will's all man.
I'm tolerant of everybody and everything. I'm sorry you can't handle
Will's
milk.
Will's all man. Central Washington. All man.
I can handle my milk. I'm sorry you can't.
Well, you know who was the man last night? Was Junior Caminero. Did you see this?
Yeah, that is fantastic.
So this is in the Dominican League. Sue and I referenced this earlier today, but there's a whole lot of juice in these games where everyone's into him. The players are on the dugout rail. In fact, I do believe that Sue's very own new superstar, Juan Soto, said that he had travel issues and didn't make it to Fan Fest because he was still in attendance for this Game 7 in the Dominican League. He was in the dugouts last night.
Yes. Go and look up. Do you have the call?
I've got the clip here, but yeah, this is Game 7, top of the ninth of a tie game, and Junior Caminero, who was, I believe, at one point in time, the fourth overall pick of the Rays, did this in his at-bat.
Jairo Asensio, el líder en juegos salvados de todos los tiempos. Duro por el center field. No, no, no. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Lo hizo otra vez.
It happened again.
Óigame, señores. ¿Qué palo ha dado este muchacho?
He took over a minute to round the bases.
Yeah, that is just the call of the home run. Go look it up. You can look up Dominican League Game 7. You can look up Junior Caminero. You can look up bat flip. This guy stands there and pimps this home run like nothing I've ever seen before. And then two-handed chucks his bat up in the air so far out of the screen that somebody sitting back in the lower bowl had like a video of it and had to do a still frame. This thing's like 40 feet in the air. Someone also timed it. The bat flip. The bat was in the air for 4.1 seconds, and then on top of it, it takes him a full minute to get around the bases. His whole team is out of the dugout, basically lining the first baseline, and he's giving them all multiple hugs and high fives. He's not even going anywhere.
He stops at, like, every base to celebrate. I'm telling you, if you want to make baseball great again, give yourself a red hat, make baseball great again, and then put all the international flags on it. It is amazing that every international league does baseball better than we do. And I love baseball. I love American baseball.
Yeah, flags!
But I'm telling you, go watch a game. Go watch these highlights of the Dominican League. Go watch a game in Mexico. Go watch a game in Korea. Go watch a game in Japan.
Any way that you can manufacture this, you need to try.
Yes. When I was over in Japan, was that 2 years ago? We went over there and we went to the Hoshin Tigers.
Your stories from there were incredible. And for those who haven't heard it, I think they need to again.
They sing a song. Every guy that comes up for the Tigers, it's like kind of their Chicago Cubs. There is a song for every batter, his own personalized song, and they sing it nonstop when he is at the plate. When there is a base hit, you would think that a three-run home run just got hit. They never stop singing. They never stop chanting. It is the most energetic you will ever see a crowd. It is for a game that often gets confused with being or gets accused of being too dull and too boring. Just go and watch the involvement of a Japanese baseball crowd. It is one of the best. And I told my whole family, I was like, oh my God, when we go to Japan, we're going to see a baseball game. I'm like, you guys won't believe it. And I was worried that I was overselling it.
That you were going to get there and they'd be like, this is what all the hype was about?
And every one of my kids was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing. And by like the third inning, we all knew the songs because they're very simple, right? Like everyone has noisemakers and it's just, it is nonstop excitement. Strikeout? Everyone's standing up, freaking out. Base hit, everyone's standing up and streaking out. In between innings, singing songs. It's like a European, that crazy European soccer energy that never ends, but at a baseball game. It's crazy. And so baseball at times can be kind of plodding and nothing's going on. Not in these leagues. They always have crowd involvement, and I don't know why Major League Baseball doesn't try to embrace what is working in every other part of the country. It's like the metrics.
It's almost
we just look at it like, nah. Inches in, we're only doing inches here. Screw the metric system for the United States.
The old whiteheads are just out here like the curmudgeon is too in the way. Like you get the Madison Bumgarners of the world who are like, don't you flip your bat and stare at me. No, we need more of that. Have you watched football? Everyone is celebrating on every play now. Yeah. And whether it's in Asia, like the songs and the dances, or whether it's in the like in Central America or South America, you look at like, the World Baseball Classic and how much juice there was on those games. It feels like every baseball game outside of the United States has more juice than a game inside the United States.
In Japan, when a guy hits a home run, he gets on a little cart and it's got like a raised back seat to it. And in between the inning,
he like becomes the homecoming king.
Yeah, they drive him around the field. And, like in between innings.
I love it.
And like he's like raising the roof and everyone's going nuts. And then like every like in between inning, the cheerleaders come running out like down the baselines, and they interact with the crowd. After the game, there's like a laser light show and they bring out the players of the game and everyone sticks around and there's like a disco party for like 20 minutes after the game.
It's like when the NHL does the three stars, but on steroids.
Yes. And then you go to a Major League Baseball game, which I love, you know, have a couple brews and have a hot dog.
It's not that.
But if you go to a Major League Baseball game, I promise you that you will, and I love baseball, you will yawn 6 times over a course of a 9-inning game. Guaranteed, at some point, you'll find yourself going, and you're just like, you will. You go to one of these other leagues, you will not yawn. Not one single time. And I just wish Major League Baseball that's always saying, how do we make the game better, right? They try to speed it up. We've banned the shift. We're trying to do all these things to grow the game. Why not just look at places where crowd engagement is 10 times, 100 times more than what it is? And yet we never adopt any of these. And like you said, when a team tries to do it, when you get a Dominican player that tries to bring a little flair, we throw at him.
Yeah.
And then we get like Freddie Freeman who tries to tell him that that's not
cool. That's not acceptable in our game.
That's not the
You're
right
like,
way.
Okay, man.
It's disappointing.
Well, let's keep things moving in the baseball bratwurst. What could cause an 11-year-old to pass up on a meeting with Livy Dunn? We'll explain that coming up next. But first, Will has SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Primetime, doing our baseball bratwurst. One texter asking, where does the bratwurst rank in your sausage hierarchy? Bratwurst is pretty high up
the
there.
The brat is high.
I mean, hard to beat a good brat.
Why would you eat a hot dog when you can eat a bratwurst?
I will say, I think that like a good classic hot dog is underrated. Like a Nathan's All Beef or something like that. Like, sure. Not your Bar S or whatever, but like a really quality all beef hot dog, like a Hebrew National, something like that.
You're telling me that I can have a kielbasa? You're telling me that
that's just it.
Me I can have an Italian sweet hot?
Those others do so much more for you.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Give me a hot link. But the broad is, it's on the medals down. It might be the gold medal. I'm just saying. I think I might go with the kielbasa, but, you know, you were splitting hairs here.
Is kielbasa Polish sausage? Is that the same thing?
Yeah, I think that's the same thing.
Yeah, I think so, too. That used to be my favorite. Let's get on with our baseball bratwurst now. This story came up last week, and we never had the time to get to it because we had so much going on with football, but the trading card era in baseball is back, or at least somewhat. It's become more of a thing in the last 5 years than it had been maybe the last 20.
Pulling cards now, and they have like pieces of jerseys, or they're like one of ones.
There's been a lot of, what do you call it? The people who like authenticators, yeah, and stuff like that. And a lot of this stuff is now going to auction. And
oh, they're like fighting now. Like when like Target and like Costco restocks them, there's like brawls that break out at these places when they restock the cards. The BTJ's brothers that live in Japan, they're big card guys, and you can't get them in Japan. They're so popular. So they have us buy them here and then ship them over to Japan. It's like a huge deal.
So some of these card companies now are trying to make cards that are so unique that it drives just insane value on them.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that Topps did this year was create something called the Rookie Debut Patch Card. And this is for, I guess, Paul Skeens, and I didn't know that MLB was even doing this, but when rookies make their MLB debut now, there is a patch that goes on their jersey that says MLB debut. I had no idea that this was even a thing.
Yeah.
But then they've taken this patch from the day that Skeens made his debut, and they put it on a card with his autograph. So they made a special one-of-one Paul Skeens rookie debut autographed and the actual patch from his jersey and put it in a card. Only one person is going to pull this card. And for whatever reason, the Pittsburgh Pirates really want to get, like, they can't just go out and say, like, oh, make us one too. But, like, you also, like, are the team that has Paul Skeens on your team, so you can make whatever memorabilia you want.
Yeah.
But yet, they're like, we have to have this card. So before this card was pulled, before it was purchased, before anyone knew that they had it in their possession, the Pirates offered this just for that card.
Yeah.
2 season tickets behind home plate for the next 30 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah. A meet and greet with Paul Skeens, 2 Paul Skeens autographed jerseys, a softball game for 30 people at PNC Park with coaching from Pirates alumni, a private tour of Pirates City and Lecom Park, that's got to be where they play, and a Pirates game with Livy Dunn in Paul Skeens' suite.
And, quote, more unique experiences.
Yeah, the suite courtesy of Livy. So the Pirates are willing to do all of this to just get that card back to whoever finds it. Well, the person who found it was in Southern California, so they didn't have a... Not that it wasn't exciting for them, and it definitely was, but they decided they're going to take this thing to auction, which is probably the smarter play. Someone did the numbers on, like, just what's the value, potentially, of those season tickets for 30 years, and somebody came up with, like, around $600,000 or something like that, if you were to sell them and all that. So, but apparently this card may be valued in the range of $1.5 million.
Really?
And I get, the value, I guess, is just whatever one person might pay for it, but that's what they think it could fetch at auction. So they said, hey, Pirates, thanks for the offer. We think that's great, but no thank you.
It's tough because if you don't live in Pittsburgh, then that's moot, right? Like, none of that, who cares, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got to be within, what, 90 minutes of the stadium for that to seem like a cool thing?
Yeah, because the jerseys are cool, the softball game and all. I mean, that's a cool thing, but if I got that for... Like, if I got that for the, like, a team that I loved, even if I didn't live there, maybe you consider it because then, you know, you still get the private tour and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, if I pulled the rookie card for a team that was, like, the Tampa Bay Rays,
what
am I going to do with that? What becomes more interesting, if that is in my hometown, like, if I live in Pittsburgh and I get that, all season tickets, behind home plate, all that stuff is awesome. But 1.5, it all depends on what you think. You have to go ask some sort of card broker.
Right.
What does this get me?
And apparently the card brokers are the ones valuing it at $1.5 million right now. Now, it hasn't gone to auction yet. We don't know if it'll actually fetch that, but that's what they're projecting.
Because if that's going for $1 million, you
got to sell it.
You got to sell it.
Yeah.
You just, as cool as all that stuff would be, sell your million-dollar card and then just get season tickets somewhere else in
I mean, if you're so... I mean, I don't know. I think these people are from, like, Santa Ana or something like that. But, sell the card and then go get tickets to the Angels for life or whatever, you know? Or get the best seats in the house for the Angels twice a year when your favorite team comes. I don't know.
I know that's cool. They do this all the time with, like, home run balls and all that stuff where the team offers, hey, do you want to meet the player and all that? Which is cool, but at the same time, man, that's life-changing money. Even if it's $500,000, you still take the $500,000.
Well,
the only way, like, if that card was worth, like, I don't know. If I was going to get like $100,000 for that and I lived in Pittsburgh, yeah. You know what? Give me the season tickets for 30 years, basically for life. Give me the other cool experiences and I'll go ahead and do that. And, you know, $100,000 isn't going to, it will improve your life, but it doesn't pay off your house, right? It makes your life better, but it's not life. $1 million, yeah, that changes it.
Well, and here's the wrinkle that we haven't gotten to, and we will detail next. The card was not just pulled by anyone; it was pulled by an 11-year-old boy in a box from that was a Christmas present.
See, at that point,
if
you're the dad, you tell your son, "Sorry, son, we're putting that. Here's $1.5 million. We're putting it in a fund for you, and you can have it when you're however old, and it'll be worth, you know." Couple mil.
Well, the special thing is this 11-year-old documented just what he went through in his journal, and his account of how this all went down is sensational. We will get to that next. Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Primetime, our baseball bratwurst, before we head into the club. Some interesting things to potentially discuss in the club tonight. Man creates spreadsheets of his spurned sexual advances on his wife to prove to her, honey, you are turning me down a lot.
Note to self.
Are you asking a lot, though? Because that could also be a problem.
It seems like the frequency of asking was kind of up there. We'll get to a snapshot of this spreadsheet later.
I keep a running thread of things that the BTJ says to me, and I just, I'm stockpiling it.
And that's where some of this is good. It's like, she said this, and then she did that, so I know that she's full of it.
Like, I'll get one of these where mine will be like, stop hitting me, and she's like, you deserve it.
There you go.
Yeah. I'll say something like, what about my feelings? And she'll respond with, I don't care about your feelings. And I'm like, that's going in the diary.
Yep.
She's keeping a running tally.
You had a running log of these, I think it was on Thanksgiving, of the things that she was shouting at you, like, your opinion doesn't matter and stuff like that.
Anytime that happens, I'm like, just going to go ahead and log that. And then she gets mad at me. She wasn't aware of that because I was doing it on Twitter for a while on Thanksgiving and she wasn't aware. And then I got ratted out by Jason Quick's wife. And then she found out about it. And then, of course, I got yelled at.
Got even worse.
I got yelled at some more.
Of course. Well, let's get back to the Paul Skenes card story, because the 11-year-old who pulled it, now the parents haven't put his face out there, haven't put his name out there.
Well, I would certainly hope not.
But they have shared, well, I don't know, some parents are weird. They let's soak up all the fame we can get. They have put out his journal diary. So, little 11-year-old, let's call him.
No 11-year-old journals. As a teacher, none of them do.
Are you calling this BS, Will?
Yeah.
So whose 11-year-old handwriting does this look
who's
like?
Who's journaling? The dad's, because he didn't have like a calligraphy
class. Before you crap all over this story, why don't you just hear what the entry had to say? It says, it was November 13th, 2024, and Topps had released the 2024 Chrome update, which was $200 a box, which was a lot considering the players and rookies, but it was fair, says the young kid.
Okay.
I started begging my mom for it for Christmas. Dad was at work and my mom was leaving soon. Me and my mom left for school and I knew people would raise the prices. So I went into full beg mode. My mom said she would get it, a victory, but her work was so busy that she forgot to get it. When my parents got home, I was super sad, but they said the prices would drop on Black Friday. Fast forward to Black Friday, all caps now, the prices did not drop. Infinite rage. One sec. So now the box was like $350. They said that I would have to get something else for Christmas. I said, okay, but they could tell that I was sad. Very, very sad.
What 11-year-old is doing this?
I called it before we even started reading. I knew. No 11-year-old writes anymore, let alone writes like this.
This does feel a little bit like when some Karen on Facebook talks about what her 4-year-old said to her, and you're like, I'll take things that didn't happen for $1,000, but please continue.
When I was at school, they found a hobby box for $320, which is still a ton, but since they are awesome, they got the box. They told me when I got home from school, and I was so excited with exclamation points. Fast forward to Christmas. First, I woke up at like 4 a.m. and woke up my brother. Whoops. We waited till 6:30, and then we woke up our parents. The first present we opened was the hobby box, and my brother got a big Lego. I opened 3 packs, and I got some cool cards. Then we passed around some more presents, and then I opened 2 more packs. And on the second pack, I got the Paul Skenes redemption card.
So he knew what this was?
I guess. He said, I quote, hey, Dad, I pulled the Paul Skenes redemption card. He was like, no, you didn't. Then I showed him the card, And then me, my brother, and my dad were like, OMG! My mom was very excited, but she never collected cards, so she didn't know what that meant. Then my brain pooped, and I started bouncing all over the place, and my dad was like, let's go! And I was so excited. But first, we went to one of our grandparents' house and hung out with them and our uncles and aunties. I'm 11 years old, so pulling this card is a dream come true.
I'm not going to lie. Normally, I disagree with Will.
You're calling BS?
That is wrong. You agree with me more than you want to admit.
This is
Now we're disagreeing on our agreements and disagreements.
Yes,
again, Will's the greatest, toughest dude of all time that nothing happens
he
to.
He is king of the like, you're such an idiot, and then he'll text me later and be like, you're so smart.
So both of you are on the there's no way the kid wrote this and didn't actually pull the card.
He's a fifth grader.
This seems a bit fabricated. I'm not saying it's not.
It's completely fabricated.
It seems a little suspect. I find it hard to believe that the kid did a running blog of this. I'm like, come on, man. But I mean, I guess it's kind of cool that it went to a family that appreciated this. Like, you imagine if you just got a pack of cards and you just some numbnuts that had no. If I was opening this, I'd have no idea. I'm like, oh, it's a Paul Skeens card. I'd be like, oh, it's autographed. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. And I would probably stick it somewhere, and then eventually I would, like, go look up. I'm like, hey, is this worth anything? But I'd have no idea. So, like, the moment this kid pulled it, him and his dad both realized it, and you realize you just probably pulled $1 million on Christmas? By the way,
then they had to go hang out with the
$20 for a box of cards?
I guess.
That's what we're...
Certain special ones have higher prices because you know that there's going to be something like this. Not necessarily this, but something like this.
Boy, I'll take, again, things that won't happen in my house for $1,000. Like... I guess if my kid asks for something, I try not to question. I'm like, hey, this is what you're into. But boy, I would have a hard time writing a check. I'm not that old. I would have a hard time filling out the old $320 credit card. That's for a thing of cards? $320?
Hey, but as 11-year-old noted, his parents are awesome, so they got it anyway.
Technically, it was a good investment,
yeah.
If you think about it.
You think that 1.5 mil is a good return on your $320?
Technically, it was a really good investment.
Yeah, fellow middle school teacher here, totally agree, this is BS. Yeah, it's... That's tough.
Someone else says there's no way this is an 11-year-old.
No fifth grader.
Someone else says they want their 2 minutes back. You don't get your 2 minutes back. Sorry, champ.
It was also probably four.
Wait, what?
It was more than 2 minutes.
Oh, it was at least 4 minutes, maybe six.
Because I kept interrupting you. But there's no fifth grader that's writing like this. Frankly, there's probably no one until maybe freshman or sophomore that's
writing
like
that.
Well,
to wrap up our baseball bratwurst, absolutely nothing cool or heartwarming happened in the Paul Skeens card pulling.
Hey, that kid's now worth $1 million. Hopefully his dad doesn't schnooker him out of the money.
How much does he actually get?
Well, if he lives
So you believe that a kid did pull the card, but that an adult just wrote the entry in kid's handwriting?
I feel like the dad wrote that.
So
I think mom
so here's
wrote
the other
it.
Thing. It's not typed. I can show you here. It's
I don't know, man.
I mean, I know that an adult could have bad handwriting like that, but at this point, I'm like, why would you go to the lengths of writing the story?
Why does anyone do anything? The amount of stuff that is made up on the internet by parents about their kids, like, I'm just convinced that 75% of what out there, what people put out there on social, it's just a lie anyways. Why do you do it? Because it goes viral, and then people talk about it.
But I think the card getting discovered was going to go viral anyways. They could have their whole family up there posing and smiling. And
I don't know, man. This is all about, again, from the Rizzler to the big Justice.
Shut up. The Rizzler does not rock.
The Rizzler
he's got pre-diabetes, and he needs some
he's
help.
He's the Panther dressed in black.
Yeah, all that. I have a hard time. I have a hard time believing that that's an authentic 11-year-old writing that. Something tells me mom and dad was over his shoulder being like, hey, write this. It'll be great.
Well, coming up in the club, we'll have to believe we'll have to find out if you guys believe that a rapper has sued Lyft for being too fat. That Gen Z is pathetic once again. I've already told you about the man documenting his rejected advances from his wife. I got an idea from the context of this spreadsheet that those are pretty real advances and excuses. We'll get to all of that coming up next. It's the Club Hour coming up on Primetime 1080 The Fan.